T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, before we get to the NFL, your thoughts on Urban retiring and Ryan Day taking over your beloved Buckeyes?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all had a sense, really going back to the summer, that this could happen. And I it's funny. Like, at first, you're a little stunned, and not every day that your school is going to stumble into hiring an all-timer like that. You know, like, the timing just happened to work out where the job was open and he was available. And, you know, I think Ohio State's really fortunate that that happened. And if you had told me in November 2011 that we were going to get 7 years of Urban Meyer, I would have told you that sounds probably about right, you know, based on his history and everything else. So obviously, he accomplished a lot. I think some of the criticism of him is a little unfair at this point. I don't get why, you know, joking about his health is okay, you know, like, and like by like people in the media, why that's okay. I'll never understand that part of it. You know, and I think that he's recruited a better quality of kid at Ohio State based on the guys that I know that have gone into the NFL. And so I have no complaints. You know, I think he did a really, really nice job and represented the school well the last 7 years. Obviously, there's this stuff that happened over the summer. You know, there's no excuse for that happening, but outside of that, I think he represented the school really well. The kids who came out of that program have represented the school pretty well, you know, on the whole. And, you know, I think Ryan Day is a bright young coaching prospect, a little bit of a projection, of course, because he hasn't been a head coach before, but a brilliant, brilliant offensive mind who's impressed people wherever he's been on that side of it. And based on where football's going, that's the name of the game now, is, you know, who can coach your quarterbacks and who can put together a creative offense. And I don't know if he's a great head coach yet, but like, you know, he can do those two things at a pretty high level.
You think Ohio State got screwed out of the playoff?
No, I mean, you lose to Purdue, and you lose to Purdue by 29 points. I just, you know, I've always felt this, like, Dustin, you know, about college football is, like, the thing that makes it, like, such great theater on a week-to-week basis is that once you lose a game, you lose control of everything, you know, and so there's so much on the line every week because of that. And I've always been of the opinion that, like, once you lose a game, like, you just lose control of it, you know, like, and at that point, it's, you know, you're subject to whatever might happen. I would have been upset if Georgia got in, I'll tell you that, but I don't mind the conclusion of Oklahoma going as the 4 seed. And, you know, on top of that, I think it's sort of irrelevant, like, that Georgia's 5 and Ohio State's 6. I think Georgia getting in would have been stupid. You know, would have really, really devalued, you know, the idea of winning and losing in the regular season and all of that. But I don't mind how it played out.
We're talking with Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. We talk about great coaches and finding a great coach for the Buckeyes, finding a great coach for the Browns. Today, Sean McVay amazed the media again. Albert, I don't know if you heard about this yet, but Sean McVay asked what challenges Jared Goff faces this week facing the Bears defense. He name-checked all 11 Bears starters and gave a brief scouting report on each guy off the top of his head, apparently, in a press conference. You know, I've seen Hugh Jackson do that. I've never seen Hugh Jackson do anything close to that. But
go ahead. After you watch the tape.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson would have said, I got to watch the tape. Yeah, exactly. But, like, this is what, like, you know, a lot of fans want Greg Williams to stay coach or Bruce Arians, and they all want a veteran guy. And I've gotten really greedy here, Albert. I want what the Rams have. I want what the Bears have, or to another degree, what the Patriots or the Saints have. I want that relationship for 15 years. I know it seems crazy in a place that no coach lasts more than 3 years, but I say shoot for the moon. When you have this quarterback, you finally have it. I want the young offensive mind. I want the next Sean McVay. Can they do it?
It's hard. Look, I don't think anybody was looking for the next Sean McVay 2 years ago when the Rams hired him.
Sure.
When the Rams hired him, you know, there were plenty of knocks against him. He'd only been a play caller for a couple of years. His background actually wasn't quarterbacks. His background was tight ends. So there were plenty of questions about him. I think everybody thought he was brilliant, but was he ready? You know, I think that was an open question at the time. And he was seen as a rising star, but certainly not somebody that, you know, teams were climbing over each other to get to. I mean, there was really two teams. It was the Niners and the Rams, and the Rams acted quickly as a result of the Niners' interest. The point is, like, these guys don't grow on trees. Sean McVay is special. I think we see that now. And if it was that easy, everybody would hire one. You know, there's just those
sure.
guys aren't everywhere. If you want a guy that, like, you know, would fit the same sort of profile, just, you know, you're talking about the mental recall, the intelligence, the creativity, the ability to coach quarterbacks. Like, I think the guy out there that you point to right now is Josh McDaniels, but obviously he comes with some baggage, you know. So if you're looking for that guy, you're going to have to take a risk and shoot for someone that, you know, it might work and it might not. And that's what the Rams did 2 years ago. You know, the Rams, that was not considered a slam dunk. And it really, really worked out for them. So, you know, I think to find that kind of guy, because if it was obvious, again, teams would just be lining up to get him, you're going to have to take some sort of risk somewhere with, you know, a hole on the guy's resume. And, you know, with Josh, it's obviously what happened in Denver. And so if you're willing to do that and you're willing to take the chance and you're willing to say, okay, like, you know, we can do this, then go for it. But I don't think you get there by doing the safe thing. I think you get there by taking a risk like the Rams did 2 years ago.
You mentioned McDaniels, and there's a quote
yep.
from him. He basically was talking about his goal to become a head coach again. He says,
yeah.
if that's in the cards for me, then that's great. I've said that before, but again, I'm not worried about it right now. It sounds to me like he wants to be a head coach again.
He sure does. And I think part of the reason why he was a little bit diplomatic there, I can just tell you guys, being in New England, like, the volume on the idea of him becoming a head coach has turned way up over the last 2 weeks or so. You're hearing it a lot here now. And people are talking about it on the radio. People are talking about it on TV. It's all over the place, you know. And so I think to some degree Josh probably had to, you know, keep a lid on what he might have wanted to say in that situation, because he doesn't want it to get in the way of anything they're doing down there in Foxborough this year. But I think that's certainly out there. And the one thing I would tell you guys, you know, my perception, just, you know, having, you know, my knowledge of that place and people I've talked to and everything else, I think the future for Bill Belichick is cloudier now than it was a year ago today. And what I mean by that is, I think if you ask people a year ago down there, they would say Bill maybe has a couple of years left. I think now the feeling is he could hang around longer than that. He could outlast Brady. Like, the feel you get is that, like, that Bill's very comfortable in his position. And part of me wonders if maybe that's why, you know, we're seeing a little bit of that push there for Josh to get another shot somewhere else, because maybe there's some sort of feeling there that Bill might not be going anywhere for a while. And, you know, ultimately, maybe however long it's going to be for Bill, that might be too long for Josh to wait.
We're talking with Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, what exactly happened with Josh McDaniels and the Colts?
I think it was more about the Colts than the Patriots. That's my feeling on it. You know,
okay.
My sense of the whole thing, and I think Chris Ballard would tell you this too, that when it came down to it, both guys sort of have their own idea of how they want to set up a program. And this isn't about, like, Josh wanting to go in and be, you know, make the fourth-round pick. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that. I think it was stuff like, okay, who's going to pick the strength coach, and how are we going to set up the video department, and how's the training staff going to look, and how's the flow of information going to go within the building? I think it was stuff like that, you know? And I can tell you guys, I did a project on this 5 years
yeah.
ago where I looked at the power structure of every team, every single one. I thought I was going to be able to put them in, like, two or three categories. I'm telling you, there were like 10 or 15 different categories. They all looked a little bit different. And so, you know, I think part of it was, for Josh, was, you know, am I going to be able to set this up the way that I want to set it up? And am I going to have the people that I want here with me? So I don't think it was about picking players so much as it was that. And so I think whatever team gets him next, it's not going to be let me pick the players. It's going to be let me pick the people. Let me pick the support staff. Let me hire people that I want to hire. And let me set up the football operation, the 53-man roster. Let me set that up the way that I want, you know?
Right.
I don't think Josh has this great desire to have all the power that Belichick has in New England. what I think he does have is a really strong idea of how he wants the building to look when he gets there. And so I think he wants some control over that. And again, that can come down to, you know, who the team doctor is, you know, who's the, you know, who the strength, who's on the strength staff, how is the strength program set up. It's stuff like that the fans never pay attention to. And I think ultimately, like, when they got to the end of it last February, both guys, both Josh McDaniels and Chris Ballard, had maybe come to the realization, like, you know what, maybe we're both lucky that this played out this way, you know, because maybe we would have clashed a little bit once we got into that sort of thing. And to Chris's credit, you know, he went and hired a guy in Frank Reich who is different than that, who is amenable to doing things Chris's way. And so, you know, that's going to be the big question going forward then is, like, you know, when you get down to it, and I think Josh learned from the experience, when you get down to it, are you going to be comfortable with the way that Josh wants to set up a program? Again, not about scouting. It's not about picking players. It's the way the program itself is structured. And if John Dorsey's comfortable with that, I think they've got a very, very real shot at getting him.
Yeah, so that's I guess, the next question, Albert, is, you know these guys better than most people. You know, obviously Chris Ballard was on John Dorsey's staff in Kansas City, so they know each other. Did John Dorsey and Chris Ballard go about it the same way? Would this be an issue between Dorsey and Josh McDaniels? And does Dorsey think bad of him because of what happened there with his guy Ballard?
No, okay. No, and I don't think so. I mean, I just tell you, I think Chris is over it.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. Chris is over it. I mean, like, I think there was a time where it was, like, the days after, of course, like, there's some anger there. I think Chris is over it. Like, and I honestly think, like, I genuinely think Chris Ballard believes that, like, this really worked out the best for everybody, for Josh, for him, for Frank, for everyone, you know? And so, like, I just feel like that was, you know, and I didn't feel that way at first because, God, I wanted to see Josh coach Andrew Luck. You know what I mean? Like, I really did. And I was like, wow, that would be dynamite. You know, you don't think about some of the other things, and I didn't think about some of the other things, and it's just, you know, the most important thing in any of these buildings, except for maybe the coach-quarterback relationship, is the coach-general manager relationship, and you guys know that better than anybody because you guys have seen a million of those blow up.
That's right.
And if that's not right, then you basically don't have a chance, you know? And so I think that part of it's really, really important, and I think the good news is that if the Browns are going to pursue Josh, because of the relationship with Chris, because of the institutional knowledge there, John Dorsey is going to go into the whole thing with his eyes wide open, and I think John might be a little more amenable to that sort of stuff than maybe Chris was to hand over some of that stuff to Josh, because he worked in a very, very coach heavy system in Kansas City that was really Andy Reid's show, so he knows what that looks like. He's been okay with that in the past, and I could certainly see a situation where, you know, he could make it work with Josh without compromising the way that he does things on the scouting side.
Albert, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.